As indicated, what I'll be discussing here briefly this morning are some valuations that we've conducted relative to soil plant water relations and irrigated cotton in Arizona. We use about 68% of the fresh water available in Arizona for agricultural production purposes. Now, that's contrasted with about 38% on a national basis and about 70% of the water that's utilized on a global scale used for crop production. On a global scale, 70% of our fresh water on the planet is used to produce about 40% of our crops. So in that context, Arizona is not tremendously out of line. However, we're high in relation to other parts of the country. To compound these issues and these competitions, increasing competitions for fresh water, we've been experiencing a drought for the past 11 years, 12 years in the desert southwest. This is a snapshot of the reservoir levels that have a couple of years ago, which are still pretty much consistent today. We've gained a little with snow melt in the winter times, and we've still had continual drawdown from urban, industrial, and agricultural purposes. But the moral of the story is, with increasing demand and decreasing supplies in many years, we're seeing a very strong pressure for increasing or more solid information relative to actual crop water use and the possibilities for allocations and reductions in allocations of water towards agriculture. So the information is very important, and it's incumbent upon us to develop a solid database relative to this type of crop water use information. The information we're using today was last updated and really published in 82 with Leonard Erie and his associates with the USDA. The data for cotton really goes back to the early mid-1950s, where it was first developed by Erie and his associates. And basically what they've shown from their work is that cotton has a consumptive use of about 41 acre inches of water, about 104 centimeters of water. And what they also show, too, is that they were able to develop some what they call semi-monthly K values. Now, these aren't really crop coefficients, but they're similar to that from a Blaney-Criddle approach using some weather-related or climatic-related factors. But it's a closest approximation that Erie and his associates developed relative to a crop coefficient. But the most important part would be that crop consumptive use component that they did publish. And that's been the kind of the Bible or the standard that we've all been working by for over almost 50 years now. Of course, what we're interested in, too, in a more modern context with the availability of weather stations is to use a reference ET and be able to calculate crop ET or ETC, and we need those then crop coefficients, those KC values, that are accurate in relation to converting those reference ET values. So that's really the crux of the issue for us, is being able to establish or evaluate, validate solid crop coefficient information. There are several approaches to this. Probably the most common approach today is used through the use of weather data and historical weather data through the use of several models, Pinman, Monteith, Priestley, Taylor, et cetera, to back calculate what these estimates would be in relation to a crop water use ratio to reference ET. Other approaches, mass balance approach, direct soil water measurements, which Erie and his associates utilized through gravimetric measurements, and of course, a very nice technique if you have the availability of precision lysimeters is to actually use weighing lysimeters to make these types of crop water use estimates in season. Right now, we're working with an AZMET system, the Arizona Meteorological Network, and Paul Brown has used a Pinman-Monteith approach to calculate KC values, as I indicate over here on this left figure. If I can get a mouse there, this left figure. These are the estimates that we have right here from AZMET system using Arizona weather data and a Pinman-Monteith approach. And of course, Paul points out that the KC values are directly dependent upon evaporative demand, but we also know that they're crop dependent. And we also know that these KC values are dependent and a function of stage of growth over the course of a season. And we also know, too, that they're regional dependent. There's where you get your weather data and your weather factors associated with that. With some of those basic thoughts in mind, recognizing the need for validation and more current information relative to crop water use and the critical need of this information in our region, we developed these experiments with the first basic set of objectives. First of all, to develop estimates of these crop coefficients. Secondly, to calculate consumptive use, compare that to the Erie values, and then also compare that to estimates that we might be able to derive from the AZMET-based crop ET models, as I just indicated. And then, of course, to make some evaluation of water use efficiency. In this case, we're using a furrow irrigated system, and to try to begin the development of a crop water production function in relation to that. This experiment was conducted in central Arizona at the Maricopa Agricultural Center, which is about 1,200 feet elevation in central Arizona. It's a Casa Grande sandy loam soil, and we had a dry plant and a wet day to 15 May here in 2007. This is a randomized complete block design. Basically, each plot consisted of 12 rows wide, 12 40-inch rows wide. They extended the full length of our run. We cut the runs, in this case, to 400 feet for water control purposes. We needed to have accurate water control. The variety we used was a Stoneville 4554 B2RF. Again, it was a dry plant with the water up. We had two simple treatments, and there are two irrigation regimes. One was an optimal or wet management regime where we re-irrigated continually at about 55 to 60% plant available water. Or another way of looking at that is about 45% depletion plant available water. We irrigated at that point. That was our critical point of re-irrigation. And then the dry treatment was simply one half of that. So we implemented that regime by just the simple use of alternate irrigation regimes. So we wanted a stress treatment in contrast to an optimal treatment. So two extremes in this particular case. Some of the basic methods that we had to have direct measurements for exactly how much water was applied for each irrigation, for each row, basically each siphon tube for each irrigation event was measured specifically. We looked at soil water content volumetrically. We used a soil moisture neutron attenuation device, a neutron probe. We set the probes, the access tubes, in three zones, the upper, middle, and lower one-third zones of the run, on that 400-foot run, at least 40 feet, 50 feet from the head and the tail of the field. We took readings just immediately prior to an irrigation, which would be just a few hours before. That would be our point of maximum depletion. And we took a reading again about 24 hours after an irrigation that gave us a full replenishment point or field capacity after drainage water had pulled away through the profile. And we were able to get standard ET estimates from an Azmet station about 200 meters away. It was located on this experiment station. Just to give you an idea, when we're looking at field capacity in terms of total soil water content, after we irrigate, we let the gravitational water move away. And then we take readings immediately after that point, within 24 hours after an irrigation event. And we allow depletion to occur until we get to about 55 to 60% plant available water. And that's where we reinitiate the irrigations. And again, that's projected through the Azmet calculations and then reaffirmed by actual in-sight, in-field measurements on a weekly basis before we make those decisions for irrigation. And again, we basically just used the irrigator's equation, but we had to make direct measurements in each furrow, each siphon tube with each irrigation event so we know exactly how much water was applied. We did that through just basic function of time, flow, and depth and area of measurements at each irrigation event. We took readings with these neutron probes, had access tubes that extended down to 4 feet or 120 centimeters, and we did that by 30 centimeter or 1 foot increments throughout the course of the season. We also kept track of the stage of growth in relation to heat unit accumulations, and again, with Arizona, what we're using for heat unit accumulations, we're utilizing the upper and lower thresholds of a 30 degrees C, 13 degrees C, upper and lower threshold, or 8655 Fahrenheit thresholds to calculate heat units, which gives us then a calculation base to look in chronicle crop growth and development relation to established baselines. So all weather data, including heat unit information, was collected off the Azmet system. And one of the things about the Azmet system, we have 26 locations now in Arizona where we can actually get near real-time weather data for this purpose. So if the KC values are developed and they're accurate, we have the capacity for direct application throughout the region. And again, we use these heat units to calculate, and not just calculate, but to estimate, to serve as a chronicle or a benchmark for crop development over the course of the season. It gives us a benchmark, too, for events such as fertilization, irrigation termination, et cetera, and tracking the crop. In terms of irrigation termination, we irrigated on a regular basis between those 55% plant available water and field capacity intervals up through cutout, and we terminated the crop just post cutout in the end of the first fruiting cycle. So we established our first fruiting cycle through this experimental regime. All plots were mechanically harvested. In this case, we harvested on the 16th, 17th of November. And this is just a quick outline of the irrigation events. There were 9 total events in season for the wet treatments. It took two irrigations to establish a crop after a dry plant. A total amount of 156 centimeters of water was applied to the wet treatments. So that was the max end of the optimal treatments at 62 inches, plus about 30 centimeters of water was applied for an irrigation water up. And approximately half of that water was applied. As you can see, we used the wet and dry treatments. The wet treatments were irrigated every time, of course, and the dry treatments were irrigated on alternate treatments to impose that water stress regime. This is a quick summary of the volumetric water content readings by depth. So these are volumetric water contents by depth in centimeters. It's accumulation of all of the readings for all of the irrigation events. The point I want to draw to your attention here is that we have a pretty strong conformity among all events with respect to bringing those soils, those profiles back up to field capacity. Now, this is a mean of 6 access tubes per treatment. And we did a pretty good job of bringing these back up to a uniform level, about 21% volumetric water content, and a little higher water content in the lower portions of the profile, a little finer texture soil, and also we'll probably have still some gravitational water moving through 24 hours after reading. This one line is just the last irrigation of the season on the 22nd of September. That was just a light irrigation, what we call a flash irrigation, to complete the crop and prepare it for defoliation. These are similar averages. Now, these averages pertain to the depletion points, maximum depletion points. So these are the volumetric soil water readings that were taken just prior to an irrigation. And, of course, you see differences through the progression of the season, basically moving from right to left or from higher to lower water content levels as the season progressed and as soil water depletion increased, as consumptive use increased over the course of the season. You also see, too, a very characteristic pattern with respect to water depletion through the profile. And these are for the dry plots. And for the dry plots, these are the readings that were taken at the maximum point just after an irrigation. And as you can see, early in the season, we were able to replenish pretty adequately throughout the profile. But as the season progressed, we began to lose and basically mine water out of the lower portions of the profile through these dry plots as you go down through the fourth foot, basically the second, third, and fourth foot. This, again, too, was the very last irrigation, just a very light irrigation. But you can see we're in a definite deficit irrigation regime with respect to the dry plots, mining that water out of the lower portions of the profile as the season progressed. And these are the pre-irrigation points you can see here as well. So these would be the maximum points of depletion. In this case, we're drawing all the way down to about 10%, 11% plant available water, but volumetric water content with respect to these dry regimes. So we have a strong contrast with respect to the optimal treatments in the dry regime. So there's most definitely a very low level of plant available water that's occurring, that's existing, particularly in later stages of the season under these dry regimes. Interestingly enough, we kind of use always a 40-30-20-10 rule, saying this is the general distribution pattern of water depletion through the profile for most crops like cotton. And this information pretty much reinforces that same kind of pattern with respect to 40%, 30% in the top, about 70% in the top 2 feet of the profile. We can also take this information now and utilizing our depletion values and making a summation of depletion, we can use then our reference ET values and calculate a KC. So this is how we go back-to-back calculate a KC from direct measurements. And remember, Paul Brown and the others that have developed KC values ahead of us have all done that with the weather-based derived models like a Penman-Monteith or a Priestley-Taylor type model. So this gives us a chance to actually make a direct estimate from this type of data using these depletion values for our ETC, a direct measure of ETC in this case. We calculate these ETCs and then plot them as a function of heat units after planting, and we have a characteristic curve that shows a peak of about 1.1 to 1.18 right after cutout. Cutout occurs at about 2,500 heat units after planting. To put this scale in a point of reference, first bloom would be about 1,200 heat units after planting and peak bloom at about 2,000 heat units after planting. So you see we have a pretty strong ramp up at early flowering, which would be consistent with other models, reaching a peak of about 1 in terms of a crop coefficient, and then peaking out at about 1.18 with a sharp decline after cutout. This is the KC curve that's used by Paul Brown, and as you can see, it's very strong similarities to the data that we actually developed. And if you do a quick overlay, you can see that there's a pretty strong relationship with some discrepancies on the shoulders of the curve to some extent, but it's a pretty strong correlation between the two. These are for the dry plots, and of course we have very, very low KC values, indicating that, of course, KC value system isn't going to work under a dry or a water-stressed type of a regime. In terms of total cumulative depletion, this is interesting. We had a total cumulative depletion of 62 centimeters of water. We had 162 centimeters of water totally applied for the wet treatments. So a total depletion of only 62 centimeters of water were accumulated over the course of the season. Of course, with the dry, is about half of that in terms of total depletion. And you see here, too, if you just compare that with the ASMET would have predicted 77 centimeters of water use by the ASMET KC values, and we were actually measuring 62 centimeters of KC, of total water consumption with our direct measurements in this case. We also look at a water production function using these two strong contrast of regimes, and we get a production function that reveals about 18 kilograms of cotton, or about 18 pounds of cotton produced per centimeter of water applied. So again, we gave us the opportunity with two very strongly contrasting regimes. Also, you might note that these optimal plots yield just a little over 3 bales of cotton under this type of an experimental construct. In summary, we see some good similarities to the KC values that Brown has developed through the Penman-Monteith approach. Strong differences to the area values, particularly with respect to the consumptive use. We came up with 62 centimeters, 24 inches of consumptive use, as contrasted by, say, 42 inches of consumptive use from the area data in the early 1950s. Water use efficiency was very low, which is characteristic for a fur irrigated system at about 64%, and a production function with about 18 kilograms of lint per centimeter of water applied for a strong response with water, as you might expect. Our future work is to continue on with the further characterization of these KC values. I'm employing a similar methodology, consumptive use, water use efficiency, and also to evaluate capacitance probes instead of neutron probes to make an estimate of volumetric water content for InSight infield, direct infield measurements, and to consider those with respect to error and reliability for this type of work. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, David Silvertooth, and also my son, who worked with me in this, helped take care of all the measurements and readings. I was here to document the events, take a few pictures, and oversee the operation. So I appreciate your attention here this morning as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Will you be available for questions?